Don't worry about anything, but in everything by prayer and petition, with thanksgiving, let your requests be made known to God, and the peace of God, which passes all understanding, shall keep your hearts and minds through Christ Jesus. Philippians chapter 4, verses 6 and 7. Thanks for joining us today. This is the Hour of Intercession here on Urban Family Talk. I'm Pastor Joseph Parker. Thanks for listening in. We invite you to look with us in the book of Revelation, chapter 1, beginning at verse 1. Revelation chapter 1, starting at verse 1. The revelation of Jesus Christ, which God gave him to show his servants things which must shortly take place. And he sent and signified it by his angel to his servant John, who bore witness to the word of God and to the testimony of Jesus Christ, to all things that he saw. Blessed is he who reads and those who hear the words of this prophecy and keep those things which are written in it, for the time is near. John, to the seven churches which are in Asia, grace to you and peace from him who is and who was and who is to come, and from the seven spirits who are before his throne, and from Jesus Christ, the faithful witness, the firstborn from the dead and the ruler over the kings of the earth, to him who loved us and washed us from our sins in his own blood and has made us kings and priests to his God and Father. To him be glory and dominion forever and ever. Amen. Behold, he is coming with clouds, and every eye will see him, even they who pierced him. And all the tribes of the earth will mourn because of him. Even so, amen. I am the Alpha and the Omega, the beginning and the end, says the Lord, who is and who was and who is to come, the Almighty. I, John, both your brother and companion in the tribulation and kingdom and patience of Jesus Christ, was on the island that is called Patmos for the word of God and for the testimony of Jesus Christ. I was in the Spirit on the Lord's day, and I heard behind me a loud voice as of a trumpet, saying, I am the Alpha and the Omega, the first and the last. And what you see, write in a book and send it to the seven churches which are in Asia, to Ephesus, to Smyrna, to Pergamos, to Thyatira, to Sardis, to Philadelphia, and to Laodicea. And then I turned to see the voice that spoke with me, and having turned, I saw seven golden lampstands, and in the midst of the seven lampstands, one like the Son of Man, clothed with a garment down to the feet, and girded about the chest with a golden band. His head and hair were white like wool, as white as snow, and his eyes like a flame of fire. His feet were like fine brass, as if refined in a furnace, and his voice as the sound of many waters. He had in his right hand seven stars. Out of his mouth went a sharp two-edged sword, and his countenance was like the sun shining in its strength. And when I saw him, I fell at his feet as dead. But he laid his right hand on me, saying to me, do not be afraid. I am the first and the last. I am he who lives and was dead, and behold, I am alive forevermore. Amen. And I have the keys of Hades and of death. Write the things which you have seen, and the things which are, and the things which will take place after this. The mystery of the seven stars which you saw in my right hand, and the seven golden lampstands. The seven stars are the angels of the seven churches, and the seven lampstands which you saw are the seven churches. Verses 1 through 20, all of Revelation chapter 1. Lord, thank you, Lord, for the privilege of being a part of the body of Christ, the church of the Lord Jesus Christ, the church that you've called out of the world and into a new relationship with you and a new relationship with one another. What a privilege and an honor it is to be a part of your body, the church of the Lord Jesus Christ. Lord, stir us to be the church you've called us to be. Stir us to courageously stand on the word of God in everything we do and to be guided by your word. And help us to live up to that courageously in a culture that desperately needs to hear and receive your light, your guidance, your counsel, and your will. Help us to be reminded that greater is he that's in us than he that is in the world. And if God be for us, who can be against us? Lord, help us to never cower in the face of the enemy. But Lord, help us to recognize that you've called us to be on the offense every day. That not the defense, but the offense. And that there's nothing the world has that can stand against your word and your will and your spirit. Help us to always be mindful of who we are as your church. We thank you, Lord, and we praise you. In Jesus' name we do pray. Amen. Thanks again for listening to the Hour of Intercession here on Urban Family Talk. Today we're grateful to have as our phone guest Bishop Stanley Searcy. He's the pastor of New Hope, the Vision Center in Natchez, Mississippi. Bishop Searcy, how are you today?
Oh, bless the Lord, and we really appreciate you, Pastor Joseph, for inviting us, and I'm blessed of the Lord today. Amen.
Yes, sir. It's an honor to have you on, and My wife, Birdie, and I had the privilege of meeting you and your wife several weeks back when you were present at a pro-life event in Jackson, Mississippi, with Sister Judah Myers, and it was an honor to meet you and to learn about the work God has called you to. So I was glad to get a chance to invite you to come on the broadcast. And today what we're asking you to do is if you'll tell our listeners, just help our listeners get to know who you are and tell about both the ministry that you lead and your prayer journey as well.
Yes, sir. I'm fortunate to be the pastor of New Hope Missionary Baptist Church, 418 Morgantown Road, here in the fair city of Natchez, Mississippi, and which I serve as senior pastor. And we also, we're the presiding bishop of about 440-some churches worldwide, and in Africa, India, and across the United States from the West Coast to the East, and from Canada down to the Bahamas and the Caribbean. And, and so I'm just proud servant of the Lord Jesus Christ on the front lines. And I love what you said, Pastor Joseph, on the offense. And since I met you, I think I'm throwing passes and everything now.
Praise the Lord. That's good. That's good.
And I'm just so glad that the American Family Radio, you know, this opportunity to come, because I often listen to your program, and American Family Radio, we can get it all across the nation. So,
yes, sir.
We, you know, we send a shout out to the work that they're doing on the front lines.
Yes, sir. Now, Bishop, you said you oversee a little over 400 churches then.
Yes, sir. And basically, I came from a traditional Baptist background, and I was out, and the Lord actually asked me to open up this church after serving so many years in the Natchez area in our youth court for troubled teens, and I was teaching from the youth court perspective. Judge Husson asked me to take on teaching sex education from a biblical standpoint, and an abstinence program, and I really got into that and really enjoyed it because I was serving as a youth pastor at St. Peter's Baptist Church, and I really found out a lot, Pastor Joseph, that you know, a lot of our children was having sex at the age of 8 years old. And so we was able to go in, and they actually had to come to our program to work off time. And this is what Judge Husson, he's a good brother that worked with those children. And and so he sent them in to me. And so I had children that didn't want to be there, so I had to get their attention.
Right.
And, but after working with them for about 4.5 years, we began to see them go back and get their GED, to finish school, to go to colleges, a lot of colleges here in state and out of state, and become successful, you know. And so basically our church springboarded out of that, and the Lord told me to say, open up this church on Morgantown Road after I received a dream. And he says, I want you to become a pastor. Well, I came from the evangelistic field. And you know how evangelist, you know, he full of fire and comes in and minister the word, and the pastor has to sweep up behind him. And so and that was a challenge. But he told me to go to Morgantown Road, and it was 410 Morgantown Road at the time. And this little white building that had KKK on the front of the doorstep. And if you don't mind me sharing, but, you know, we went in, and I thought for sure that some child had did this, you know, spray painted this, and we went on in and began to renovate the building, and the lady, little did I know that the lady was a Church of God lady, and she had stretched her hands towards the building, and she had prayed, Lord, send me a black Baptist pastor. And I received in a dream from her prayer, and she had stipulations. The stipulation that she had was, Lord, let him be black, let him be a Baptist pastor, Mm-hmm. Let him work with the youth.
She laid out her order, didn't she? She laid out a specific order, huh?
She laid out an order. Yeah, she laid out an order. And she said, and send them to me. She said, send them to me, please, you know. And and so here I come along. You know, here I come along. And as I was coming along, the Lord told me, he says, go to Morgantown Road. And so this was the quickest way. I made a right turn, and down the side of the building there was basically a little bitty sign about as big as a bicycle sign, and it said, for rent. I said, wow, those people don't want to rent that building like that. And so I went and inquired, and she told me yes, and she gave me the third degree, and she says, do you believe in, you know, the baptism of the Spirit? I said, yes, ma'am. Do you believe in, you know, praying for folks? I said, yes, ma'am. And do you believe in this? I said, yes, ma'am. I said, do you want to rent the building? And then she was like, are you Baptist? I said, yes, I am. And she says, yeah, I want to rent the building. And then I was in a, I had a construction business at the time, and it was kind of slow because it had rained for about 3 or 4 months, and man, I was just barely able to pay my bills. And she says, I said, well, can you hold a check for me? And she said, how long do you want me to hold it? And I said, well, I say, if God gave me this assignment, I say, it's not going to be long. And she says, well, I'll hold it 3 weeks for you. And I left out of that building, Pastor Joseph, and I said, Lord, I said, I just wrote a check on a vision that you gave me in a dream. I said, now, this is you. I said, now, you work it out. And I never forget, you know, those big old long gray mobile phones before we got these nice smartphones. It was a dumb phone, you know. And it rung. It was a good friend of mine's, a prayer partner. And she said, the Lord told me to call you. I said, what you up to? I said, I'm going to open up a church, and he told me to open up a ministry. And I said, she said, well, come by. And I have, I want to pay the first 3 months rent. Wow. You know, praise that blew God. Me away.
You know, Bishop Sister, let me share something real quick.
Yes, sir.
Part of what you're speaking of is something that's so important for us as believers to grow in. A huge part of our prayer life is learning how just to listen to the Spirit of God. God has so much guidance, wisdom, counsel, direction, and specific directions for us, but we've got to learn that listening is as important, if not more important, than what we say to God in prayer. It's a huge part of our prayer life, yet too often we think of prayer as us doing the talking. We've got to learn to listen better. Praise God. Praise God. I'm going to say a quick word of prayer before we go into break, but I want you to pick up right where you left off there, because again, your journey is an interesting one so far, but a powerful one as well. And again, all of us has a different journey, but prayer is what helps us to listen so much better. Lord, thank you for Bishop Searcy, and thank you, Lord, for the work you've called him to, and thank you for blessing him to be a servant that was willing to listen and follow your direction, Lord. Lord, anoint us all afresh with the spirit of listening. Help us to recognize, Lord, that you have so much to say to us every day if we will have ears to hear as you speak your words of counsel, guidance, direction, and encouragement. Guide us so that we'll recognize that we've got to be people that are continually seeking you in prayer, both listening and talking to you as well. We thank you and praise you in Jesus' name. Amen. Our phone guest is Bishop Stanley Searcy, the pastor of New Hope Missionary Baptist Church in Natchez, Mississippi. We'll be right back after this break.
And many rebuked him, telling him to be silent, but he cried out all the more. My name is Abraham Hamilton III, and this is the Hamilton Corner. In a congressional hearing on President Obama's executive overreach imposing gender confusion on America's schools, law professor Gail Herriot explained exactly how the president violated Title IX and the Constitution. California Democrat Congresswoman Zoe Lofgren's only response was to shout, "I think you're a bigot, lady. I think you're an ignorant bigot." This is Exhibit A in how secularists silence opposition. Instead of dealing with the substance of an issue, they shout louder and call names. But when we are armed with the truth, we must be loving, but we must also be resolute in our conviction and vigorous in defense of the truth.
Visit the Hamilton Corner on the podcast page at AFR.net for more from Abraham Hamilton III, public policy analyst for the American Family Association.
The women's ministry at my church recently had a chat and chew. It was all the women of the church, specifically mothers and daughters, but included older and younger women. The chat part was the older women 25 and up sharing with the younger women some of their testimonies. The desire was to help them understand that they didn't have to go through girl things alone, that there was somebody who understood where they were and had been there before. It was a great encouragement for everyone. The chew part was a time of fellowship and food. We mingled, we laughed, we talked, and of course, we ate. I came away from the chat and chew really glad that I had pressed my way to get there. I said all of that to say this: everything that you go through is purposed for your life and designed for you to help bring someone else out. Don't allow the enemy to make you ashamed of your journey so that you keep silent about how God has kept you and brought you out. Share with the younger women so that they know that they can make it too. With a heart for the urban family, I'm today's urban woman, Toni Johnson. Connect with us at urbanfamilytalk.com.
Jesus said, "I am the way, the truth, and the life." This is Elizabeth George. It was several years after Jim and I were married that I accepted Christ as my Savior. Oh, how I struggled with everything in life. But when I gave my life to Christ, everything changed. Oh, not all at once, but it wasn't long before I found strength in God's Word and prayer, and I began to grow. To change. I was a new woman. Receive Jesus as your Lord and Savior. John 11:25 tells us Jesus is the source of life. Don't let anything stand between you and your Savior. Psalm 32:1 says, "Blessed is the one whose transgression is forgiven, whose sin is covered." It's my prayer for you today. This is Elizabeth George.
You're listening to The Hour of Intercession with Pastor Joseph Parker on Urban Family Talk.
Yeah. hands in here.
Clap your hands, clap your hands, clap.
Let's take them to the scripture. Listen.
You're listening to the music of Marvin Sapp, the song Teach My Hands to War. Thanks for listening to the Hour of Intercession here on Urban Family Talk. In the book of Ephesians chapter 6, starting at verse 10, it tells us these words. Finally, my brethren, be strong in the Lord and in the power of his might. Put on the whole armor of God that you may be able to stand against the wiles of the devil. For we do not wrestle against flesh and blood, but against principalities, against powers, against the rulers of the darkness of this age, against spiritual hosts of wickedness in the heavenly places. Therefore, take up the whole armor of God that you may be able to withstand in the evil day, and having done all, to stand. Stand therefore, having girded your waist with truth, having put on the breastplate of righteousness, and having shod your feet with the preparation of the gospel of peace. Above all, taking the shield of faith, with which you will be able to quench all the fiery darts of the wicked one, and take the helmet of salvation and the sword of the Spirit, which is the word of God. Praying always with all prayer and supplication in the Spirit, being watchful to this end with all perseverance and supplication for all the saints and for me, that utterance may be given to me, that I may open my mouth boldly to make known the mystery of the gospel, for which I am an ambassador in chains, that in it I may speak boldly as I ought to speak. Verses 10 through 20, Ephesians chapter 6. Again, we're grateful to have as our phone guest today, Bishop Stanley Searcy, the pastor of New Hope Missionary Baptist Church in Natchez, Mississippi. Bishop, I'm going to ask if you'll pick up right where you left off before we went into the break as you shared your powerful story there.
Yes, sir. Pastor Parker, you know, you were saying that prayer is not only speaking to God, but listening.
Mm-hmm.
And when I received in that dream, you know, to go to Morgantown Road, 410 at the time.
Mm-hmm.
It was our old facility. And, you know, I obeyed it. I obeyed what the vision had showed me.
Mm-hmm.
And when I went to Miss Catherine Seals, and she had prayed and listened to God, and it was a desire in her heart, though she was a Church of God lady, she prayed for a Baptist preacher.
Mm-hmm.
And made all of these stipulations, and she heard from God, and she listened to him.
Mm-hmm.
Here I came, through that dream, I answered to her prayer,
mm-hmm.
little did I know. And then I lift my eyes up towards heaven, and I say, God, I need the first month's rent on this building, because, mm-hmm. like I said, I had a construction company was moving earth, and, you know, and bulldozers and all, and mm-hmm. my notes was due, and it had rained 3 months straight. And what happened was, that lady called me across that phone, that big old tall old phone, and she says, "I have the Lord
mm-hmm.
told me to call you, and what you're doing." And she had to hear from God and obey him. And I told her, I said, "Well, the Lord have instructed me to open up a church."
Mm-hmm.
I was just holding Bible study, 2 here and 1 in Vicksburg, Mississippi. And she said, "Well, come by. I have the first 3 months."
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm.
And so when she did that, you know, we went in and started working in that mm-hmm. building. Because mm-hmm. it was an assignment, if that makes any sense.
That's
you know,
right.
It was an assignment, mm-hmm. you know, God assignment. It wasn't something I just got off the top of my head. It was an right. assignment.
Mm-hmm.
And it was in the headquarters of a clan. And this was so profound that God would send me there, and this lady would pray
mm-hmm.
for this type of pastor and the stipulations. And little did I know, later on, when I started working, it was wintertime,
mm-hmm.
and so it was a Free Will Baptist in there, a Caucasian gentleman, and he had took the space he was out.
Mm-hmm.
And this place was it needed a lot of work.
Mm-hmm.
And so when I inquired from the lady that I was renting the building from, she said, "Well, check with him." So I went, and I asked him, and he had stopped preaching because he had got down in a wheelchair.
Mm-hmm.
And he told me, he says, "Man, whatever you do, preacher, don't ask that lady for nothing." He says, "Because a float in a commode went bad, and I wanted to swap that thing out. And she wanted to throw me out on my head when I took part of the rent money and did that." And so I said, well, if she was doing him like that, well, I better be quiet. I don't want to mess up this assignment that God has given me, you know. Mm-hmm. So I just went to work, and I didn't ask her for nothing. And then one day, because we had prayer every day at 12, mm-hmm. and we still continue it now, I prayed, Pastor Parker, because I didn't have any money. Mm-hmm. I just prayed, the Lord, make a way out of no way. And so, and Promise Keepers was going on then.
Okay.
And that was this gentleman, a Caucasian gentleman, looked like a television evangelist, and came and fell on my neck and began to cry and weep. Mm. And I was like, he says, my brother. I was like, oh, you my brother? And he says, yeah. I said, well, yeah, brothers in the Lord. Mm-hmm. And I was hugging him. He says, no, you my real brother. I mm. said, oh, Lord, you know, now I'm about to hear some of my family history I don't know anything about. Mm-hmm. And when I looked over his shoulder, it was this Church of God lady. And she was just a stern, you know, she didn't smile. But this day, her smile went up and came down. Mm-hmm. And he says, I want to adopt you into mm-hmm. my family. Mm-hmm. And in turn, I adopted him into my family. Mm-hmm. And I start showing up for Christmas and Thanksgiving dinners. Mm-hmm. And it started out of that prayer service. Mm-hmm. We made a bond, a covenant, mm-hmm. to begin to learn about one another, to begin to share with one another. And I showed up at Christmas dinner, and they had actually card-carrying Klan members in their family. Mm-hmm. And so basically what happened was he introduced me to their family. He told me, he said, these are guys that are card-carrying Klan members, and mm-hmm. he says, and you might get some stares, he said, but you're my family. Mm-hmm. And so one of the sisters that was married to one of the guys that had never been connected with anyone of the black race said to me, he says, the sister said, which was his, you know, the guy, the evangelist, he was evangelist, his sister, he says, well, you're buckwheat. And I said, well, if I'm buckwheat, somebody here got to be Spanky. And that just broke the room down. Mm-hmm. And that family, including those guys, agreed to sell me that building. Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm. They said, we can't think of anyone else better to have it. And praise they literally adopted me into that family.
Well, praise God.
Walls fell down. Mm-hmm. And I kept praying. I kept praying. And every day at 12, and God was moving. He was moving. Mm. And I listened to God, Pastor Joseph, in those prayer services at 12 o'clock. Mm-hmm. It's so important to pray.
That's right.
And I listened to God in those prayer services, and God told me, he says, well, let me back up. The church began every month. We grew 100 members, and after a year, mm-hmm. we had 1,100 members. Mm. Couldn't get nobody else in the church. And the church site, it was sitting right on the edge of the street, so we couldn't expand it. Mm-hmm. And I said, Lord, what you need me to do? He says, purchase 25 acres next to the church. Mm-hmm. And so the architect came along, verified it, said, we can't do anything with this. You have to make this your youth church, a children's church or something, and build next door. Mm-hmm. And so we was planning to build a $3.5 million facility, because that's what the architect began to tell us at the rate we was growing. We need to do that. And so we took his recommendations. Mm-hmm. And what happened was we kept praying. And in our women's prayer set-in, one day the Lord told us, say, go around and ask that gentleman that owns that 25 acres to, we was led, to ask him. He was a Southern Baptist, stayed right around the street. And he said to me, when we went around, him and one of my deacons, mm-hmm. He says, go around and ask, do you want to sell that land? And so we did. He told me, he says, Pastor, he says, me and my wife said that we need to do something for y'all, because we can't even get down through the street to get to our house because there's so many cars mm-hmm. on Sunday. Mm-hmm. He says, y'all need some more space. And I said, well, do you want to sell in that land? He says, well, I'm thinking about selling you about an acre or two over there mm-hmm. So you can do some park and some other additional things. He said, but my son is a principal in Terry, Mississippi, And he's planning on retiring and building him a house and me a house on that property. Mm-hmm. And he says, but I don't want to talk about it right now because my wife has to go to surgery in Jackson for mm-hmm. open heart surgery. Now, his wife is about 82 years old.
Mm-hmm.
And right then, the Lord gave me a word of knowledge. He says, pray for him. And he says, and I let him know that his wife is going Monday. That was on a Saturday. Mm-hmm. She'll be home by Thursday, you know.
Mm-hmm.
And now, this had to be God, miraculously. But I think it came out of me being in that 12 o'clock prayer, just praying, because
mm-hmm.
I was broke, man. I didn't have any money. I just prayed mm-hmm. every day for God to move. And so I said, you mind if we pray for you?
Mm-hmm.
And he says, oh, no. He says, I believe prayer is always in order.
Mm-hmm.
So we put our hats on the table, and we grabbed hands on him, and I received another word of knowledge. And the Lord told me, said, tell him his wife will be home Thursday.
Mm-hmm.
And he says, and after he got his wife home, and that he would consider, you know, selling the land, and he'll talk to his son about it, because
mm-hmm.
his son owned 5 acres of that 25.
Mm-hmm.
And I said, okay. And so we prayed. He called me Wednesday night,
mm-hmm.
and he says, preacher, come and get the land. I said, huh? Mm-hmm. He says, my wife is sitting here, and she's doing it, and the doctors are amazed
mm-hmm.
that she has had open heart surgery, and she's as strong as she is. She said, mm-hmm. come on and get the land, preacher.
Praise God. Praise
and all
God.
Of that came out of mm. prayer.
Mm.
It came out of prayer and hearing,
mm.
listening, you know, and communicating with God. And so basically...
Bishop Searson, let me yes. jump in here real quick. I'm going to ask if you'll take a moment just to pray for our listeners to really grasp what you're sharing and the need for us to recognize the huge need of just really bathing the lives and the issues, the challenges in our lives in prayer. And you know, prayer is, amongst other things, like a currency in the kingdom, but we've got to come to the place where we understand how critical prayer is to everything. Would you pray for our listeners in that regard, please?
Yes, I will. I will, and I'll be honored to do so.
Okay.
Father, we thank you, oh God, you. For Pastor Parker and the prayer team. And God, I call them a team because they are listeners. It's all over, Father, and they're listening now.
Jesus.
And they are the backbone of this nation. Men and women of God that pray. And Lord, I ask that you will fine-tune our prayer life.
Yes, Lord. Jesus.
To be able to bring the request there.
Thank you.
But to wait with that, to listen to you, that still, small, inner voice.
Thank you, Lord.
For that direction that you would give us.
Jesus.
And Lord, when we come and bring our souls and we pray, we touch heaven.
Thank you, Lord.
But when we wait for the answer, heaven touched the earth.
Yes, Lord.
And so,
Jesus.
Lord, we ask, give us that sensitivity.
Thank you.
To be able to hear you.
Thank
to hear your voice. To fine-tune the hearing of your voice. None of us are experts in it.
Yes, Lord.
But, Lord, but we ask that you will cause us to be more sensitive.
Thank
to when
you.
We hear it and we know it's you, to move out on it. We thank you in Jesus' name. Amen.
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 Our phone guest today is Bishop Stanley Searcy, the pastor of New Hope Church in Natchez, Mississippi, and he's been sharing about his prayer journey. Bishop, we're coming up on a break one more time, but we'll pick up on the other side. But again, really appreciate you sharing some of the details of your story, because it's important for us to really realize God talks to all of his children. We've
yeah.
got to learn how to listen and obey. Not just listen, but do what he tells us as well. That's so important. But we'll pick up on the other side of the break. You're listening to the Hour of Intercession. Again, Bishop Stanley Searcy is our guest. We'll be right back.
The Awakening, shaking believers out of our slumber and calling us to action. The Awakening, encouraging Christians to rise up and stand, though all around us are falling. The Awakening, hosted by a warrior for the Word of God and for the Constitution, Bishop E.W. Jackson.
I am proud to say that I am not an African-American, I am an American!
Tune in to Urban Family Talk, Monday, Wednesday, and Friday mornings at 9 Central for The Awakening.
guy's an evolutionist, and there's nothing in the whole course description about biblical creation as even a plausible alternative.
A committed Christian father, a doubting daughter, and a liberal professor clash in the captivating film, A Matter of Faith.
This guy stands against everything that we believe in.
Wasn't the Bible written by man?
Yes, it was.
Then how does that make it the Word of God?
Every believer needs to see A Matter of Faith, now out on DVD at afastore.net.
Did you know that the Arlington National Cemetery was originally built during the Civil War? That's right. It was the home of Robert E. Lee, actually, who was the general of the Confederacy. Little known fact about the Arlington National Cemetery, which today is an iconic tribute to our fallen heroes. Hello, everyone. I'm Tim Wildman, president of the American Family Association and American Family Radio. We'll visit the Arlington National Cemetery in September on our spiritual heritage tour, as well as going to many other sites in our nation's capital. We'll also go to the home of George Washington, Mount Vernon. In addition, Colonial Williamsburg, Jamestown, and Yorktown will be a place we visit just prior to our nation's capital. So if you'd like to go on either of these tours in September, or both, we welcome you to find out all the information at the website spiritualheritagetours.com. That's spiritualheritagetours.com.
Ephesians 6:13 tells us to put on the armor of God so that we can stand our ground when the day of evil comes. Dr. Tony Evans tells us what that day is all about and what we can do to survive it as we spend 2 minutes with Tony.
That is the day when your number comes up. Every Christian in here has a number. That is a number when Satan is going to unleash hell after you. Ask Mr. Job. He'll tell you about the evil day when God let Satan come after him, when his whole world fell apart. There is coming a day when Satan, even at the permission of God, in order to win the angelic conflict, will let Satan give you an evil day. And your job, like Job, is to what? Stand firm. He couldn't do anything about the loss of his kids. He couldn't do anything about the loss of his health. He couldn't do anything about the loss of his job. He couldn't do anything about the loss of his career. All he could say, though, is, though he slay me, yet will I trust him. He stood firm. He did not let Satan budge him off of his spot. And so what God says is that you need the armor of God to stand firm in the victory that has already been won. And that's why we spend so much time giving thanks. We want to thank God for the victory to remind ourselves we have won, even when it looks like we're losing.
Learn more about how to protect yourself and your family in Dr. Evans' book, Victory in Spiritual Warfare. It'll show you how to live in the spiritual victory Christ died to give you, even if you're dealing with chemical, sexual, emotional, or relational strongholds. Get a copy for yourself and order the DVD-based Bible study version for your church. Details on Victory in Spiritual Warfare are waiting for you online at tonyevans.org. Then join us next time as we spend 2 minutes with Tony.
This is the Hour of Intercession with Pastor Joseph Parker on Urban Family Talk.
You've won. Sweet Abba Father, there's no competition.
Music of Forever Jones, the song You Are Welcome. Thanks for listening to the Hour of Intercession here on Urban Family Talk. We're grateful to have as our phone guest today Bishop Stanley Searcy, the pastor of New Hope Missionary Baptist Church in Natchez, Mississippi. Bishop Searcy, before you pick up with your story, as you continue to share about your journey, would you tell our listeners once again, if they want to learn more about you and New Hope or how to come visit or just get in touch with you, how would they do that?
Well, it's New Hope, the Vision Center, and I'm the senior pastor, Bishop Stanley B. Searcy, Sr., and it's 418 Morgantown Road, Natchez, Mississippi, 39120. Okay. And the phone number there is area code 601 445 4779. They can go in and log in and get all of my information on our website.
Okay.
Our website is www.nhvc.org. There again, www.nhvc.org.
All righty then. Okay, but if you'll pick up, you had shared the gentleman, his wife came home, and they were the doctors, and all were pretty much surprised how quickly she came, and he decided to. Did you say he donated the land? Share that part again?
No, he said. He sold the land reduced price because he didn't want to sell it.
Okay,
it was beautiful land with just Roman hills and nice oak trees and clovers, and you know, it was just a wonderful setting. It was right next to our property, but he didn't want to sell it. You know,
mm-hmm.
All the relatives in town was trying to buy it, but
okay.
He wouldn't sell it to him. But he sold it for a reduced price.
Okay.
He told us. He said, Bishop, come and buy the land. He says, because my wife is sitting at home.
Mm-hmm.
And he says it's a miracle.
Mm. Praise
God. He said it's a miracle. And so I believe that came out of prayer that day.
Mm-hmm.
I didn't pray to get the land.
Right.
I prayed because God, I seen the need for the woman to be healed. And I pushed my problem aside and I picked up his problem. But God knew that we was, you know, that he was going to do that. I didn't know.
That's right.
Yeah. Right. We didn't even negotiate any further, but he called and told me. He says, come on and get the land. And so we did.
That's good.
And we was planning to build a $3.5 million facility. Our facility holds 2,500 folks.
Mm-hmm.
And we needed it. And an architect suggested it. But what happened was, when I was looking over to the fields to build that property, I was in prayer one day. And the Lord says, Miss Catherine Seals has adopted you into her family. And he says, if that was your mother or grandmother, he says, you would take that property and restore it. Because I did my grandfather's property like that.
Mm-hmm.
And he says, what you going to do for her? And I said, Lord, what should I do?
Mm-hmm.
And he says, restore that property.
Mm-hmm.
And she had told me to make a children's church a long time ago. She said, separate your children so they can get taught. He said, that's what we do in the Church of God. And so we did. We separated, and we made that our children's church. We totally revamped that building, put every dime we had into it.
Mm-hmm.
And I didn't know, but out of prayer and the word of knowledge that God had given me, I totally restored it.
Mm-hmm.
And that building once was the building of a private school, ACCS. Mm-hmm. And when I did that, I didn't know that I was restoring, Pastor Parker, a community. Mm-hmm. And people began to call me to their office, bankers, and began to say, Pastor Searcy, I said, yeah, thank you for restoring that building. Mm-hmm. I say, okay. And he says, because I went to school there.
Mm-hmm. Praise God.
Lumber owners called me and said, thank you for restoring that building. Mm-hmm. I met my wife there, and we went to school there. Mm-hmm. And the community began to embrace me, mm-hmm. and I began to embrace them back.
Praise God. That's good.
And then this is something, in prayer one day, and I know this is going to be humorous to you and a lot of other listeners, because then he tells me, he says, oh, and now build a big facility. I was like, with what? You know, I was like, we had $45 in the bank after we totally renovated that building. Mm-hmm. And one of the business owners, I think it was a banker, told me, he said, that building looked better than it was when we was in school, man. Mm-hmm. And he tells me to up now and build a building mm-hmm. with $45 in the bank. Mm-hmm. It's just enough to rent a tent, mm-hmm. and we didn't even have enough shovels. I said, guys, and you know, I have my eldership board is consist of about 13 elders. I said, how many shovels y'all have? And they say, well, we have. I said, go buy some paint. We're gonna paint them. And mm-hmm. they said, you're gonna build. I said, yeah. And so we put on a dedication thing. Mm-hmm. And with the tent and call all the officials of the city. I told somebody, I said, if they had known that we was broke, everybody probably walked off from us. You know? But we started and we tossed dirt that day. Mm-hmm. And we was trying to secure the financing because we was a young church. Mm-hmm. And about 3 to 4 years old. Okay. But we had a need to build that facility because we was busting out at the seams. Mm-hmm. And then after that, it was about a year after that, and still praying every day at 12, mm-hmm. interceding for our city, interceding for the community to come together. And then after that, after some duration of time, about a year, and weeds had begun to grow up in the fields, but we had cut the logs. Mm-hmm. And then our finance company called us. They said, we're fast-tracking your project. But we bathed it in prayer.
Mm, praise God.
In less than 3 months, our foundation was up. The steel was up. Mm-hmm. And out of prayer, we began to see that project begin to come up and going. Mm-hmm. And we're only now, Pastor Parker, 19 years old. Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm. But I want to tell you, we didn't stop praying. Mm-hmm. We kept praying every day at 12. Kept listening to God. Mm. And when the Katrina storm came by, after maybe about 2 years out of having that building up, mm-hmm. it was like God was fast-tracking that building. Little did I know that 441 people were sleeping on those pews during the Katrina storm. Mm-hmm. Mm. And they was praying at 12 with us.
That's good. That's good.
441 people mm-hmm. that we helped, and the building became a refuge for the people that were
refugees of sorts at that time. So
yes, sir.
Well, Bishop, our time is almost gone here, and you've shared a very powerful story. We're going to need to have you come back soon to tell the rest of the story. You mentioned
I would be honored to do so, sir.
Yes, so you mentioned that you oversee 400 churches, and I guess you've mastered the art of not sleeping, apparently, with all that you do. So we've got to have you come back again soon, though.
Before our time ends,
once again, I want to ask that you'll just lift up our listeners and whatever is on your heart to pray for them as it relates to your story. Whatever's on your heart to pray for them, would you take time to pray for them once again before our time comes to an end?
Yes, sir. I'd be honored to do so. I just feel in my spirit that the Lord is talking, is speaking to those that have dreams, mm-hmm. dreams of businesses, dreams of your family coming back together, dreams of your ministry coming to fruition. And I want to just pray that you won't let your dream die and you won't wear out in the midst of the process, because there is a purpose and there is a plan. Father, I pray right now for every believer that may be wearied in well-doing, that maybe the struggle, oh God, is just weighing them down, and it looks like it's not going to come to pass. I hope my story today will encourage them that you can take something or nothing and make something out of it. I ask, oh God, that they would take that plan, that vision, that purpose for their families, their communities, for their businesses, for their churches. And say, yes, God can. Yes, he can. And let them begin to listen as they begin to petition. And as we begin to petition you to hear where to go, who to go to, and what move to make next. Jesus. And, Lord, as they pray up and lift their souls in the community and the problem up towards heaven, let heaven come down to them, to the earth, with the answer. Father, we thank you for this time. Pastor Parker, oh God, and this prayer program, just continue to bless him and all the AFR listeners, oh God, and just bless this network to continue to stay strong, and bless the owners, oh God, we pray. In Jesus' name, amen.
Amen. Amen. Thank you so much, Bishop Searcy, for being on the broadcast with us today. I appreciate your time. And again, we'll be in touch soon because, like I said, we want to hear the rest of the story, all right?
Yes, sir. Thank you, sir.
All right. And thank you for being a part of our listening family. As always, we appreciate you listening to the Hour of Intercession. Please continue to pray for God to bless this ministry and the American Family Association. Join us again next time for the Hour of Intercession.
The views and opinions expressed in this broadcast do not necessarily reflect those of Urban Family Talk, Urban Family Communications, or American Family Association.